James is saying, you're going through something right now, but you need to be more committed to Jesus' purpose than you are in getting out of your pain.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with pastor and author James Ford Jr., senior pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller, glad you're with us today as we continue our message from James chapter 1, seeing purpose in your problems and pain. And as we began to look at in yesterday's broadcast, we all go through pain. We all go through problems. And as we're walking through that, it can be hard to grow spiritually. It can be hard to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because I get it. We want the easy way out. We want the pain to stop. We want the problem solved immediately. But sometimes, in doing that, we shortcut what God is wanting to do in our lives. Very often, He may be trying to teach us something by allowing us to be in that problem or in that pain for a season. And when we shortcut that, we're not growing like He wants us to grow. So I think it can be helpful, as we're in a season like that, to not only be looking for the way out, but to keep in mind that our goal really ought to be honoring Jesus in the midst of that pain. And as we do so, we're bound to grow in spiritual maturity. We're going to continue to look at that today from James chapter 1. So if you can, open your Bible and join us there as we continue the message, Seeing Purpose in Your Problems and Pain. Here is Pastor Ford.
Don't ever write anybody off. Yeah, because you don't know what God can do when He gets a hold to somebody. Look at me. Folk wrote me off. People would be out witnessing and wouldn't give me a tract because I was pushing drugs. But look at me now. I'm preaching Christ. I went from pushing drugs to preaching Christ. I went from LSD, trying to get a PhD. I mean, you know, God is doing the thing. Somebody would say, look at him, poor little welfare boy, family of 10. You know, mama went third grade education. Well, I earned all my degrees, except the one I was given. Yeah, don't ever write anybody off. She was fired from her job, and she was told, you are unfit for television. So the first job she had as a TV announcer, she was fired. Now she owns her own. And she is the richest African-American in America, worth over $3 billion. What's her name? Everybody, same time. Oprah. Now, I don't agree with her philosophy, but I sure wouldn't mind having some of her money. We'd say, I would too. And so what's going on here? Listen, he's saying, listen, let me tell you about my identification. My name is James. But then look at his dedication. There are seven words in the New Testament translated servant or minister. And this is the one, doulos. Guess where it fits. Come on, holler out a number from 1 to 7. Holler out a number from 1 to 7. 7. It's the worst term. It's the most abject term that one could use for slavery. And that's what he uses. Now you say, wait. See, he's saying, look, in my suffering, I submit to the regal sovereignty of God. He could have said, God, my brother. He could have said, James. If I'd have wrote it, you think it would have said, James, the servant of Jesus Christ? James. Half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? Ate at the same table with him. You know what I'm saying? In the same crib. You know what I'm saying? I am somebody. But he doesn't say that. He puts none of the relationship. He says, let me tell you, I am a slave to Jesus Christ. That's why he can do anything he wants, because I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. Man, he's saying, listen, this word is really powerful. You know what it means? It means absolute conformity, abject humility, and undivided loyalty. Let me say it again. It means absolute conformity. It means abject humility, and it means undivided loyalty. When you wanted to be a doulos and you were set free, guess what you had to do? You had to get an awl. A-W-L, so I spell it because I can't pronounce it real well. And you had to put it through your ear so everybody could see the hole and know that you voluntarily became a slave even though you were free. And so Christ set us free from the slave market of sin, and he wants us to volunteer to become his slave. Here's what he's saying. Your will is all that matters. Not my wants, not my pain, not my problems, not my trials, not my tests. No. I'm not saying that you don't feel the pain. I'm not saying that. And he won't say that. I'm not saying that you have to like it. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you submit to what God has either authorized or allowed to happen in your life. In other words, he's saying, your will is all that matters to me. James is saying, I'm not going to tip on Jesus. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of Christians, man. We're the bride of Christ. We're married to Jesus, but the devil is our side piece. We here with Jesus on Sunday, and we shacking with the devil on Monday. And I already told you, you can't cast out a devil you sleeping with. We say, devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. He says, shut up and go and get in this bed. Yeah. You say, what would he say? He's saying, listen, I need you to understand this, that I submit in my person to the regal sovereignty of God. Listen, I'm working on the message. I don't know if I'm going to get to it because, you know, I have been all over the place here lately, you know, but I'm working on some messages. And one of the things I'm going to do is talk about what is the biblical basis. Everything that we're going in, when I listen to the news, here's what I hear. I hear fruit, I hear shoot, I hear nothing about root. Yeah, the problem is not with the world. The problem is with the church. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I go on record as saying it. Why? Because, thank you, Tony Evans, because when you look at a football game, two teams on the field, they're both trying to make goals. But the most powerful people on the field are not part of the teams. The most powerful guys, there's five of them that's on the field. They're called the referees. Guess what? They don't have equipment on. And they never pumped any iron, most of them, and never shot any steroids. But they got more power than everybody on that field. And their job is to make sure that what happens on that field is the instructions from the manual that came from New York. See, the NFL headquarters sent down a manual and said, this is how the game ought to be played. And so the referees have the most power because if that 350-pound offensive tackle does something that's not in this book, he could throw that yellow flag and throw him out of the game. God has called us as the Church of Jesus Christ because we have a manual. And it didn't come from this world. It came from heaven. He gave us this manual, and we are the referees on this earth. And when the earth decides they're not going to listen to the manual, we throw out the flag of salvation, put them in check, and say, this is what thus saith the Lord. That's what we need to do. And it's time that the church be the church. So anyway, so what's happening? In other words, James is saying, you're going through something right now, but you need to be more committed to Jesus' purpose than you are in getting out of your pain. That's a hard message. Alexander the Great, he conquered the whole known world by the time he was 33, same age as Jesus. But he died at 33. In an alcoholic stupor, because a man who could control all those troops and all those nations all over the world couldn't control his own nature. Know anybody like that? So he wants the wealth of this city. He brings his troop, but the city is on a mountain. They made this city on a mountain, and it only has one way to approach it. And it has a wall that they built around. So if you could scale the mountain, you still had to scale the wall, which is about 30 feet high. Alexander marched his troops up, supposed to be a true story, marched his troops up and said to the king who was on the wall, open the gates. Open the gates and let me in and no one will lose their life. King said, you can't get up in here. You can't get all your men on this narrow way. And you can't scale these walls. We have about 3 years worth of provisions. So go ahead and siege us because you ain't getting up in here. He said, let me show you why you need to let me in. He called a division of his troops, lined up in four, just like our military. And he said, forward march! Four by four, they came to the edge of the cliff, and without hesitation, they kept marching. So four went over on down the mountain. Four more, four more, four more, four more, until the whole division marched off to their death off of that mountain. He looked up at that king. He said, you better have them open the gates. And the king said, open the gates, because there's no way we're going to be able to defeat a king who has followers who obey him like that. And that's what the world needs to know. People come in. Now, Pastor, pray for me. Hey, the prayer meeting. Oh, I need a job. Oh, God, I need a job. Then he come in. I don't care if you ain't having a testimony time. You have a testimony time. I got to tell this. Saints, Friday, I got my last unemployment check. But hallelujah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Monday, I got my job. Wow! 2 years later, y'all pray for me. I need to get another job because them people on that job, they ain't right. That boss, he ain't right. I'm the only Christian. Why do you think God put you there in the first place? You're taking the salt out, and God got you the job so you can show people that everybody, that people who love the Lord aren't like everybody else. They don't do Facebook on company time. They don't take pens and paper. And what else do people steal from the job? Toilet tissue. Paper clips. Ink pens. Taking long lunches and stuff like that. Amen. So God can say, I have some people who don't talk about the boss because they realize ultimately he's just an agent. God is the source. I work for God. That's why I don't take extra breaks. Go and lift your head up so I don't know I'm talking to you. Got your head all down. Every time I say something, stole something from the job, taking extra breaks. Pretty soon you're going to be on the floor. I better stop.
Oh, you're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, and maybe that's a good tip for us to keep in mind. You know, when the pastor starts naming sin, make eye contact, right? No. Well, we're glad that you've tuned in. Whether he's naming your sin or not, we all face sin. We all face problems. We all face struggles. We all face pain in life. But what do you do with that? That's what we're taking a look at from James chapter 1 today. And if you want to go back and listen to any of these broadcasts again, you can do that by coming to our website. Just come to treasuretruthradio.org and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You know, another way that you can stay connected with Pastor Ford's teaching and listen to it on the go is if you have the Moody Radio app. Not only can you listen to Treasure Truth, but you'll also be able to listen to other Moody-produced programs and streaming music stations. And if you've not used the app lately, I'd encourage you to do so now. We've recently updated that. And if you don't have the app yet, go get it. You'll find it at your favorite app store, like the iOS App Store or Google Play. Just simply search for Moody Radio, or we'll link you to it when you come to treasuretruthradio.org. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Ford.
And so, what is it? It is we understand that we are like the old children's game. Remember it? Simon Says. Anybody old enough, old school like me? We used to play Simon Says, bunch of us, and we say, Simon Says, run, and you run. Simon Says, stop, run, and you ran. Simon didn't say it, you out. Jesus said, tithe. Jesus said, witness. Jesus said, serve. Jesus said, worship. Jesus said, be good stewards. Jesus said, love one another, honor one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens. Now notice with me. So then not just the regal prerogative of God over your lives. Notice the regal prerogative of God in your problems. Say, where you see that, Pastor? Right there. To the 12 tribes which are scattered. He's writing to Jewish Christians. They are saved, but they're Jews. And he says they're scattered. Who remembers the word from our Bible study, Wednesday Bible study? You remember it? Yeah. Diaspora or diaspora. Dia is a preposition. Spora means seed. So here's what it literally means. Seed sown. It's the word picture of a farmer who has weeded up where he's going to plant and then cultivated it, furrowed it, and then fertilized it, then dropped the seed in and put the soil on it. Here's what he said. God is sovereign in your problems. Why? Because like a farmer, he strategically placed you where you are. And what he did was cover you with dirt. Now, what he wants you to do is when the sunshine of his promises and the water of his word hits you, he wants you to begin to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that whatever time he has you, he hasn't buried you. He just planted you. You are in incubation mode. So that once you begin to break free from the dirt that's on you, you will begin in your growth to lift your hands toward heaven, and you'll look down on what used to be over you, and you'll look up and blossom and give God some glory. I'm telling you, that's what it is. It's not an accident, it's providence. God, where am I? Right where I placed you. God, why am I still here? Because this is where I left you. Adelaide Pollard. Anybody ever heard her name? Okay, I bet you sang her song. Because Adelaide Pollard wanted to go to Africa as a missionary. This is back in the time when women weren't doing that. And she knew God had called her to do this. So she tried to raise support from the church. You heard what I said. That's right. She tried to raise support from the church. Didn't get it. Here's what she said, and I quote, I went through a crisis of soul. What does she mean by that? I went through a crisis of soul. God, you called me to this, but you haven't provided for it. You called me to this, but there's an issue or a problem. Now you call me to this, and I'm in pain because I don't see this happening the way you said it ought to be. So she went to a prayer meeting that night, and one of the teenagers, she said, that's a senior citizen, one of the teenagers just prayed a one-line prayer, and she said God ministered to her in that one-line prayer. She went home that night, and this is the song she wrote. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Make me and mold me after your will while I'm waiting, yielded and still. Have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. Wow. Man, that's it. When are we going to realize that the Christian boat is a rowboat, not a motorboat? Because in a motorboat, you got all that power and you can see where you're going. But if you're in a rowboat, you can't see where you're going. It's the old coxswain. Remember that thing in the Olympics, the coxswain? They got the long boat with all the guys in it. They say, stroke, stroke, stroke. This guy tell him to stroke, he ain't doing nothing. He's standing up there, he controlling the way they go, stroke, and the speed and everything. And you know what? That's Jesus. We rowing, supplying what's necessary to get things done. And what happens? Jesus saying, row, 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 row. Row. Notice secondly with me. The regal prerogative of God. You got to be committed to it to have strength in your struggle. But then notice secondly, and this is where I'll stop. You got to have the right perspective about your struggle. Look at what it says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. I want you to see something here, because what he's going to tell us, two things. He's going to say there's an attitude towards suffering that demonstrates you have the right perspective. Here's what he said. When we go into trouble, well, let me just speak for myself because I know ain't nobody going to relate to it. Going through something. Why me? Why now? Why this? And James is saying that's not the right perspective. It's not the right question. Not why, what? See, God must work in you before he works for you so he can work through you. Let me say that again. That God must work in you before he works for you so he can work through you. The idea is he wants to work through you. So whenever you begin to think about it, we talked about this before, some of you may remember. They're on the boat and the boat's doing the nay-nay. I don't know how to do it, but you know, stanky leg, the boat is doing it. All right, it's doing it. And they're afraid, fishermen who fished on the Sea of Galilee all their life, as little boys, as teens, as adolescents, as adults. And there's a storm that they ain't never seen before. And they say, man, Jesus, this storm, what you gonna do? And Jesus says, don't be afraid. And then he says, storm, shut up. Now here's the question, some of you may remember. Why did he tell them don't be afraid before he stopped the storm? Because in my way of thinking, if he stopped the storm, they stopped being afraid. No, Jesus knew he must steal the storm on the inside before he steals the storm on the outside. Because often when he steals the storm on the outside, the storm is still raging on the inside. You don't believe it? Okay, then why are you still struggling with something that happened 10 years ago? Why are you still struggling with, why are you still tore up from the floor up about some stuff that was done to you that you ain't got over yet? Because you got a storm inside. And Jesus had to steal that storm. Why not me? Why not now? Why not this? Attitude determines action. That's what he's trying to get us to see. And he says, count it all joy. Now I'm talking about counting in a minute, but wait a minute, what do you mean joy? I'm glad he didn't say happiness. Wanna know why? Because happiness depends on what happens, but joy is independent of circumstances. So we know two things because he used the word joy. Number one, we know it's the fruit of the Spirit. Number two, we know that it is joy that's independent of circumstance. That's what we know.
So that's what we know, but what difference does that make in your life and in your walk with Christ? Well, we're going to continue to look at this topic next time here on Treasure Truth as we continue our message, Seeing Purpose in Your Problems and Pain. It comes from James chapter 1, and you can always go back and listen to each and every program again when you come to our website. It is treasuretruthradio.org. Again, treasuretruthradio.org.
Yeah, Steve, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you and your wife have a budget?
We do. We try to stick to it. Why?
Well, we all need to practice wise financial habits. And just like you and those who are listening, Moody Radio has to operate on a budget to ensure that we're good stewards of the resources that God provides. And it's so helpful for us to know and to be able to plan our budget based on monthly giving to help us with this process. You can become a monthly partner today.
Yeah, really easy to become a monthly partner. Just come to the website. It is treasuretruthradio.org. You're going to see a link there that talks about supporting Moody Radio or donating to Moody Radio. Click on that. And we are really asking you to consider becoming a monthly partner. It really does help Treasure Truth and Moody Radio be better stewards of what God is entrusting to us. So come to treasuretruthradio.org and click on that donate link. Well, thanks for listening today. Thanks also to our Bible teacher, Pastor Ford, and our producers, Amy Rios and Ryan McConaughey. I'm Steve Hiller. Treasure Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.